101.3 FM, KRNG Fallon, Reno, Fernley, Sparks, Nevada, and surrounding. Hit music and more, this is Biggest Little Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. Thanks for joining us today. Our weekly rural report here, discussing news, events, and anything of interest in Fernley, Lyon County, Churchill County, and the rural region around the area. Today our guest is Lyon County Commissioner Ken Gray.
Good morning.
As we go along here, if you'd like to chime in and pop in with a question or a comment, you can go to the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com and type in a message, or you can call us at the studio hotline here, 775-404-1115. This segment is sponsored every week by the Flame Grill, which is located in the Scolari Shopping Center here in Fernley, featuring brick oven pizzas, burgers, and brews. And as I said, we're talking with Lyon County Commissioner Ken Gray, who's just freshly back from Washington, D.C., attending the presidential inauguration. How did that go?
What an experience. I mean, to see the transition of power, the peaceful transition of power, is just an amazing thing. I mean, got to meet so many great people, and it was just such a such an experience. I mean, it's something everybody should experience once in their life. I mean, it was great.
Did you just go on your own? Were you invited? How did it come about?
I was actually invited. I got tickets from the Republican National Committee. They were looking for a couple of veterans, and they reached out to me, and I was able to grab a friend of mine who's been involved in politics. It's funny because our mothers were involved together down in Southern California, trying to get Republicans elected down there. Talk about a monumental task. But so I took him back, and the weekend, I mean, it just started off literally with a bang.
When did you actually go to D.C.? How long were you there?
We flew in Wednesday night and up bright and early Thursday morning, walking the mall. And it was funny because one of the first people we ran into was a former senator, former congressman, John Porter. And that just right there was just the way the week was going to start off for us. It was a very neat experience and wound up spending quite a bit of time with John.
So for the inauguration itself, where were you?
We were up front, and if you were staring at the stage, we were just off to the side. We had some fantastic tickets, could see everything that was going on, and just felt really secure where we were instead of out, instead of out with the masses out back by the monuments.
So from where you were, there's been a lot of conversation about the attendance this year and the crowd. From where you were, what was your impression?
And the crowd was huge. I mean, I don't think you can judge anything by the size of a crowd, but there were people everywhere. And, you know, one thing people, you know, forgot to mention is a lot of people could print these tickets off of the general admission from the internet. And there was a lot of rain. I mean, there was, you know, prior to and not so much during the event. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if attendance was down, you know, pretty good, you know, point or two just from the projected weather.
Was it just chaos getting in and out of there?
Actually, it was very well run. I mean, you had your ticket. You had to show it at the different security points. Different tickets went to different areas, you know, and they all correlated with seats. And it was extremely well run. And I got to tip my hat to the whoever coordinated the law enforcement protection in D.C. I mean, they brought in, I think it was like 23,000 officers from throughout the country. And those guys were so well prep for that whole event, and just so nice, and it was a very good event.
So obviously, as a Republican yourself, and involved with the Lyon County Republican Central Committee, you know, you were a supporter of Trump leading up to this, but you know, what was your feeling about him being elected, and then, you know, your thoughts on him as a president?
Well, yeah, let me clear up an assumption here real quick. I was actually a Ben Carson guy from the outset, and but I was one of those folks that said, you know, whoever our, you know, our party selects, I will get behind wholeheartedly, and that I did. And I got to tell you, with every passing day, I feel better and better about our party selection. Just, you know, a couple of side points from the inauguration and the events that we attended, especially like at the Commander Chiefs Ball the night of the inauguration. Something I, you know, have not seen is his entire cabinet that had been appointed or at least nominated at that point, they were down there mixing with the military members. I mean, I had gotten to see, talk to General Kelly. I mean, didn't even know I was talking to General Kelly. That's a whole another embarrassing story unto itself, but very, very, very nice, down-to-earth man. General Mattis was there just mixing. President and the Vice President, for obvious reasons, didn't mix with the masses around the stage, but there wasn't anybody there that couldn't get within, you know, 20 or 30 feet of, you know, the President and the Vice President. And what really made, you know, really made my heart feel good after having been in the service for 26 years and now having a daughter serving in the U.S. Navy is he randomly pulled troops out of the audience to dance with him, his wife, the Vice President, his wife, and some other folks that were on stage. There is just such a congeniality there with the troops and the American people as a whole that I think we are absolutely going in a whole new direction in our country. And, you know, I think we will begin to see wounds heal if he can keep this up.
What were your thoughts of some of the points he made during his inaugural address?
I think he was on mark. I think it was a speech of unification, trying to bring people together. You know, from this point going forward, it's one team, one fight. I mean, we have our differences, but that's the beautiful thing about our country is we can have our differences, but, you know, once the deal is done, we move forward as a country and we don't kill each other out in the streets. The highlight, honestly, for me during that was to hear something that I hadn't heard as a military member, was that now we are taking the fight to radical Islamic terrorism. You know, three words that you'd never heard uttered out of the prior administration.
As opposed to just waiting for an attack and responding.
Exactly. Or calling it just terrorism, or, you know, it is, you know, the perfect definition of what we've been fighting is radical Islamic terrorism. And, you know, you've got to know your enemy, and you've got to be able to identify your enemy and categorize your enemy to know how to fight your enemy. And we're, I think, moving well in that arena. And I have to say also, we spoke, as I told you, we talked to a lot of law enforcement agents, got the opportunity to have lunch with a very good friend of mine who's a very senior FBI agent. And the morale difference, I mean, he was telling me the morale difference has been almost overnight. It's, you know, they feel like they're going to have a president who finally supports them and thus America.
What were some of your favorite moments of the trip and the weekend there? Any particular anecdotes that stick out to you, or, you know, things you saw or experienced?
This may put a question in your eye, but we got to visit the embassy of Nevada, believe it or not. It was immediately after the inauguration. My friend and I, we actually had an invitation to go over to the Canadian embassy and meet with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, which we also had another invitation to go back to John Porter's house, who lives up on the hill directly across the street from the Cannon House office building. So we actually chose to go see John Porter and hang out over there. And in his house, he's got an emblem that's above one of his mantles. It's the Embassy of Nevada. And while we were there at this private reception after the inauguration, we got to see some great Nevadans. We got to see some fantastic Americans. Ran into another old friend of my parents who works up on the hill in the house. So it just really did. I mean, it was like being home on the hill. It was a little slice of Nevada right there. And that really stands out. Just such a warm, welcoming environment. But your radio show is not long enough to go through everything that stands out in my mind. It was just unbelievable.
We can make it longer.
We're visiting with my County Commissioner Ken Gray. If you'd have a question or a comment you'd like to contribute to the show, go to the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com or call us here in the studio, 775-404-1115. Were you part of a group for all the activities that you were involved in, or were you mingling with different people at different times?
It was pretty much mingling with different folks at different times. We were actually, the credentials we had were actually guests of the inaugural committee, which was kind of neat. But we got there with no plan, But every 2 seconds, you know, an opportunity presented itself. And I don't think – I've been back to D.C. many, many, many times over my life for different things, mainly work. And I have never had an experience that will live with me like this. And I hope, you know, and pray that people get a chance to experience the same thing going forward.
This the first time you'd been to a presidential inauguration?
Yes, it was.
So leaving, you know, politics and viewpoints aside, just the specter of a presidential inauguration, can you even describe, you know, what that's like to people who've not been able to see it or people who've only seen it on TV?
It is a truly, truly American spectacle. Whether you're right or left, Democrat, Republican, no matter who's being inaugurated. I mean, had the shoe been on the other foot and it was Hillary Clinton, not that I'm a Clinton supporter, you know, let me put that out there right here and right now, but it's an American spectacle, and it's something I would have gone back to watch as well. I mean, it's just... we are such a special and unique country in that aspect that just to see it happen, see the reins of power of our government handed from one person to the next was just, I mean, it's just really only something God can control.
What was the mood like in the city and, you know, leading up to that and, you know, maybe even immediately afterwards?
Everybody that we came across was just on cloud nine. Everybody. I mean, I was. We went to this little restaurant the morning before the inauguration. Cause like I said, we were just trying to scope out what was going on, and there was a young African gentleman working there, and 21, maybe 22 years old, on his hands and knees with a washcloth, washing the tables down, doing an exceptional job, working hard, totally unsolicited to me. He gets up and looks at me and goes, "Tomorrow's going to be a great day in America. You know, once again, we'll all have opportunities, and it won't be us and them." And that happened three different times with, you know, totally unsolicited with African Americans. And that tells me that, you know, President Trump has struck a chord with the average person. Maybe not certain segments and groups of society, but I think individuals get it. And I just, you know, I pray going forward that we are all going to be able to seize those opportunities and make America great again.
You're listening to The Rural Report here on FM 101.3 and BiggestLittleRadio.com. I'm Robert Perea, the publisher and editor of The Fernley Reporter, and we do this every Tuesday at noon with a special guest. The segment is sponsored by Flame Grill, located in the Scolari Shopping Center here in Fernley, featuring brick oven pizzas, burgers, and brews. You can chime in with us here. The chat box at BiggestLittleRadio.com, the studio hotline 775-404-1115, and we'll be right back.
Conversation on our chat box at www.biggestlittleradio.com.
Brick oven pizza, steak, and shrimp. Oh my! At Flame Grill, they've got it all. From chips and cheese to Virginia City's epic IPA beer battered cod. Located conveniently in downtown Fernley at 1330 Highway 95A North.
Hit music and more. This is Biggest Little Radio at 101.3 FM.
Back, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter, and this is the Rural Report. We're visiting with Lyon County Commissioner Ken Gray, coming in with a little bit of Midnight Rider here. Next week, we will have our own intro song, so doing a little Allman Brothers right here, but talking about the inauguration that Ken attended this week. There were some protests, some women's...
There were?
Yeah.
I didn't see them.
Women's marches. What was your impression of that?
Honestly, you know, I know there was a lot of it on the news, and I was getting pinged left and right about them. But didn't see him where I was. I just, you know, we were in and out of the city. We stayed in Crystal City. So I think the news made a lot more of it than there really was. I know there was one story that really broke my heart. I was at the airport getting ready to fly back. And a little older lady, I won't say old, but little older lady, probably 70-ish, asked her what was wrong. Because, I mean, I could tell something was going on. And she had said that she'd been assaulted that morning by one of the protesters because she had had a Trump hat on. She wasn't out there looking for trouble. She was out there at a monument, and somebody came out of the crowd and pushed her down and took her hat and berated her, you know, verbally on top of that. So, you know, that's not America. Left or right, Democrat, Republican, that's not America. I mean, we can disagree all we want, but, you know, when it all comes down to it, we're Americans, plain and simple.
Well, that's what I was going to ask too. I mean, obviously, you know, the right to assemble and you know, that is uniquely American, and but doing it in the right way is you know, that's the most important thing. And it seems like maybe sometimes, and I, you know, speaking even as a member of the media, do you feel like sometimes the media overplays the way things are? You know, do you think there really is as you know, as much discontent as we see that there is?
You know the old axiom: if it bleeds, it leads. I don't think there was as much as they said there was. You know, inauguration night, you know, we had, you know, done the ball circuit and had gone, you know, from point to point and walked through some of the areas that were supposedly really bad. And I didn't see any rioters, didn't see anybody smashing windows. Not that it didn't happen, but it didn't happen in any of the areas that, you know, we had happened to be in. But you know, that's not America. That's, you know, America is treating our fellow Americans mm-hmm. with dignity and respect and class. And, you know, if you didn't win this time, okay, you know, do what Americans do and focus on the next time, because there will be a next time.
For those people who, you know, may have opposite viewpoints and you know, maybe do have dissent and, you know, supported somebody else, and, you know, the different fragments, how, you know, what can we do to bring some of these fragments together?
You know, it sounds cliche. You know, I think as Americans, we can do this, though. You know, people talk about doing it internationally. We have problems with other countries, and it doesn't work as well, and sometimes it will not even work at all. But we need to sit down and talk. We need to find common ground. Sometimes we just need to agree to disagree and realize that we're never going to come to a common solution on a problem. And whoever's in power gets to make the decision on that power. That's, you know, that's the beauty of living in a republic.
Now, you just were elected last June. It was actually kind of an interesting situation because you won the primary election in June, and then there was not a Democrat to run against you, so you were unopposed in November. You had to essentially wait 6 months to take office. What was that like for you?
It was rather interesting, and I kind of took a beating because I didn't attend a lot of the meetings and events that happened. But, you know, we're talking about treating, you know, with dignity and respect. You know, Ray, I've known Ray, my former opponent or former county commissioner, for a long time. I didn't want to step on his toes in his, you know, in his arena. He had a job to do for that last 6 months. And I wanted to make sure he had every opportunity to do that without having a shadow cast over him by me being in the audience or anything. So now I've jumped into it head first and already causing some waves. But we're there, and I'm here to represent the folks in all of Lyon County, not just my section, but I want to, you know, I want to make Lyon County a stronger county for all of us.
For those listeners who might not know, you're obviously from Dayton, but you know, what are some of the issues around the county that you're kind of ready to jump into and do something about?
Well, I've got priorities. You know, one of my priorities is I'd love to see us get a, you know, and this doesn't play well with everybody, but, you know, I tell everybody exactly what I think. One thing I'd like to do is get us a county code enforcement officer to address some of the issues that we have, some of the blight that's going on, and that plays directly into, you know, our economic development. You know, people want to invest capital in communities that look good and respect themselves. And when they do that, that brings jobs and opportunity for the, you know, for the folks that are there. So that's one of my biggest priorities. The second one, our Lyon County Sheriff's deputies, you know, I personally, as like I said, this is Ken Gray, personal feeling, they don't get paid enough for what they do as a base rate of pay. So I want to work on that. You know, they don't get enough to get paid to get shot at. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, that in relation to other county employees. am just focusing on that segment, our, you know, our deputies. There's other areas of our county that needs help also. Our, you know, we've been asked to do a lot more with a lot fewer people. So we need to start looking again at filling key positions within the county that have caused additional workloads beyond what is normal for our other county employees. But I think the overriding concern, the message I brought, is economic development. We have got to attract businesses into Lyon County. So, you know, life will begin to pick up and our economic stature will begin to pick up in Northern Nevada.
Along with that, you're getting ready to start the county budget process. You know, what do you think it's looking like this year? You know, is there looking like going to be budget cuts? Is the county looking in pretty good shape? What, you know, what's the financial picture looking?
Now, I hate to play the politician on that one, but I'm going to have no comment on that one right now, just because there's so many wheels at play. You know, the state legislature is going to meet again. We've got to see what they're going to do. We've got to see what's going to happen with collective bargaining. So then a short answer, I really can't say anything more than that. But, you know, rest assured, I will be sitting there fighting to make sure that every tax dollar our residents spend in our county is used to the best of our ability. You know, they're your money. It's your money. It's not the government's money. The government doesn't do anything to create wealth. It's only the people and the citizenry that does that. And, you know, being in a democracy, we, you know, we willingly give our wealth to the government to meet the needs, you know, the collective needs of the group and of our citizenry. So it is incumbent upon us to spend it, you know, judiciously, and we have to do that. I honest to God, firmly believe that we have to do that.
You talked about the, you mentioned the sheriff's department, but as a new commissioner, you know, have you had much time to dive into some of the different departments in the county, social services and road department, and kind of see where they're at?
Yes and no. I've met with Edgar Lavoie and her staff. You know, you want to talk about an overwhelming task. That group does an amazing job with the resources they have. I've met with the sheriff's department, done some ride-alongs. We'll continue to do that. From there, talked with Mike Workman earlier this week, and I'll be spending some time with his department to find out what their challenges are. And I've also spoken with county staff in Yerington, and I'll be spending some time with those guys to see what their challenges are. You can't go in and make decisions if you don't know what the situation truly is. The staff reports we get, it's just not enough information to go on. You have to know firsthand, and that's one thing I've vowed to do, is to get firsthand knowledge.
You know, what kind of response have you got when you've been, you know, out in the community, getting community, you know, feedback as far as what people are looking, what people need, what people don't have?
Oh man, well, code enforcement's one of them. Roads is another big one. I mean, our roads need some serious attention in this county. People want opportunity. They don't want us to be just a bedroom community for Reno, for Sparks, for Carson City. You know, people want to live and work in their own community.
And we mentioned you from Dayton. You guys got particularly hit hard in some of the areas over there by flooding in the last couple of weeks. We've had our issues around here, but nothing near to some of the areas that was over there. Did you get a chance to get out and see how people were affected by that, and you know, how things are turning out now?
I did. I spent some time in our emergency control center with the county manager and also Commissioner Hastings. We got out. We saw some of the affected areas. We saw some of the potential areas that we thought may have some problems coming up. Got to meet a lot of the good folks. But what I found out that, you know, I kind of knew, but I actually saw it in action, is that our residents, it wasn't, hey, I need this. It's, hey, I may be affected by this also, but what can I do to help? Because I know there's people that are worse off than I am. And our county staff, you know, my God, hats off to them. They busted their butts to do everything they possibly could to mitigate damage and prevent damage. And going forward, there's a local emergency planning committee meeting this week that I'm going to be attending. And we're looking at ways to take our contingency plans and have, instead of just a one-size-fits-all, maybe modify them so we can have, you know, different contingency plans for different issues for different areas.
It seems over and over again, every time this happens, a lot of areas just get the same thing happen again. You know, are there things that you guys can do, preventative measures, or is that part of the planning process to not only respond when it happens, but, you know, maybe there's things we can do so that it doesn't happen this way next time?
Yeah, it's, well, one is there's a lot of assessments that go on. that, you know, figure, you know, there's a risk assessment that happens. But, you know, this is one of those unique events. We had a lot of snow this year. We've had a lot of snow this year. But I mentioned we've had a lot of snow this year. And then you get the rain on top of that, especially the higher elevations. And no matter how much planning you do or how, you know, ready you are for it, when you have that perfect storm like that, there's going to be issues. I mean, we had people at the Dayton Bridge watching the water flow there, measuring cubic feet per minute. We were getting reports from the state. So everybody was doing everything they could to keep an eye on what was going on to, like I said, prevent more damage and prevent, in areas prevent any damage. But some areas you just had to, especially when you're dealing with private land, when you've got homeowners, you know, on property owners against property owners, and, you know, sometimes you've got the runoff that's been changed. There's really not a whole lot you can do that. The government, and I don't espouse this, I mean, the government just can't walk in onto your property and say, oh, we're going to do this, and, you know, change the flow of it. It's just not a not a way to be. But as a good homeowner, you should be looking at what you're doing on your property that affects people upstream and downstream from you. I mean, you may not have a stream going there right now, but when you have these kind of events, you're going to have water flowing across your property. So work with your neighbors, you know, get a hold of county staff, work with them to see what you can do to mitigate that damage.
You mentioned the bridge, and when we had the sheriff on a couple of weeks ago, that was one of his concerns, and he talked about the need for a second bridge. And that's been a discussion that I've been, at least the 20-some years that I've been around this county, but, you know, where does anything stand with the idea of a new bridge?
Yeah, Al is a good friend of mine. I love the sheriff to death, but that's one of those areas that, at this point, especially for fiscal concerns, I don't think we are there yet. And if another bridge ever does go in, I think the place to put it is going to be at Cardelli, as opposed, and it's going to cost a lot more to put it at Cardelli, but Chaves, it's just not the right place, I don't believe. And there's a lot of homeowners out there that have some concerns, you know, rightly so. It's going to increase traffic in their area. It's going to increase people coming in. And, you know, they're used to living a very isolated area, in a very isolated area, those 5 acres. And it may present a public safety risk out there for them.
Want to thank Ken Gray, Lyon County Commissioner, for joining us today and talking about his trip to the presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C. last week. I'm Robert Perea, the publisher and editor of the Friendly Reporter. This is the Rural Report. We do this every Tuesday at noon. I want to thank Jay Rodriguez here for manning the controls and keeping us in line and on schedule here. This segment is sponsored every week by the Flame Grill, located in the Scolari Shopping Center here in Fernley, featuring brick oven, pizzas, burgers, and brews. And we will be back next Tuesday at noon with another special guest. Thanks for listening, everybody.